Welcome to the U.S. Politics Daily Brief. I'm your host, A.I. Michelle. Here are our top stories today. First, President Donald Trump is set to sign an executive order to abolish the Department of Education. Second, U.S. spies are urged to refocus efforts on America's backyard, according to the new House Intelligence Committee chair. Third, health organizations are tweaking their messaging as federal policy priorities shift. Finally, the Pentagon is reviewing plans to cut troops handling migrants at Guantanamo by as much as half. Let's dive into our first story. President Donald Trump is moving forward with plans to abolish the Department of Education, fulfilling a campaign promise that has stirred significant debate. Trump is expected to sign an executive order that he claims will empower families over bureaucracies. The move is part of a broader strategy to return control of education to states and local communities, a decision that he argues will improve educational outcomes for American students. The decision comes in the wake of concerning national assessment of educational progress scores, which show that American students are lagging behind. The White House has pointed to these scores, alongside the alleged strain on school resources due to illegal minors and the influence of what they describe as radical ideologies, as justification for dismantling the department. Critics, including the American Federation of Teachers, argue that abolishing the Department of Education could harm efforts to ensure equal educational opportunities for all children. They emphasize that the department plays a critical role in leveling the playing field for students across the country. Despite Trump's executive order, eradicating the department requires congressional approval, a challenging feat given the current political landscape. The Senate would need 60 votes to pass such a measure, yet there are only 53 Republican senators at present. Nevertheless, there is some support in Congress, with Representative Thomas Massie introducing a measure to nix the department by December 2026. The potential outcomes of this decision are varied. Proponents believe it could lead to more tailored educational approaches that reflect local values and needs, potentially fostering innovation and improvement in student performance. However, opponents warn that it might exacerbate educational inequalities and reduce federal oversight that protects students' rights. Next up, U.S. spies are being urged to refocus their efforts on America's backyard, according to the new House Intelligence Committee chair. U.S. spies urged to refocus efforts on America's backyard. In a significant shift, the new House Intelligence Committee chair, Rick Crawford, is urging United States intelligence agencies to concentrate their efforts closer to home. Crawford, a Republican from Arkansas, highlighted the need to address security concerns in the Western Hemisphere, regions often overshadowed by the global war on terror. He emphasized the increasing influence of countries like China and Russia in areas such as Nicaragua, Cuba, and Venezuela, and the potential threats they pose right in America's backyard. Crawford's call for a renewed focus echoes a broader Trump administration policy that resembles a modern Monroe Doctrine. This strategy aims to counter foreign influence in the Americas, especially as China attempts to expand its reach. Recently, President Trump advocated for reclaiming the Panama Canal from Chinese control, a move that resulted in U.S. Dash-based BlackRock taking over key ports. The urgency of Crawford's message is underscored by the aggressive military advancements of China and Russia. The Chinese Communist Party is reportedly ahead of the United States in several military technologies, including shipbuilding and hypersonic capabilities. Meanwhile, Russia continues to demonstrate its willingness to engage in belligerent actions, such as its involvement in Ukraine and influence in Venezuela. Crawford also pointed to recruitment and retention challenges within the intelligence community, suggesting a cultural retooling is necessary to ensure national security. He criticized the handling of the Havana Syndrome, a series of mysterious health incidents affecting U.S. diplomats and intelligence officers, as a failure to adequately support affected personnel. The implications of this shift could be profound. A focus on the Western Hemisphere might strengthen U.S. ties with regional allies and counteract foreign influence. However, it also requires careful balancing to avoid escalating tensions with powerful adversaries like China and Russia. As the geopolitical landscape continues to evolve, Crawford's approach may redefine U.S. intelligence priorities and impact broader foreign policy strategies. In other news, health organizations are adjusting their messaging as federal policy priorities shift. Under the new administration. Pharmaceutical companies and other health interests are increasingly adopting terminology associated with Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s public health movement in an effort to align with the administration's direction. This shift in communication strategy is not uncommon when a new administration takes office. However, Kennedy's bold initiative to reform the public healthcare system and address corporate influences in medicine makes this pivot particularly urgent for health organizations. "There's a lot more at stake than there was before," said Hannah Mooney-Mack, a strategic communications consultant. "There's always a handful of things that are being considered in the health space. Now there's a complete overhaul being considered, which is requiring people to speak up." Despite some companies pushing back on the notion that they are making significant communication shifts, the influence of Kennedy's philosophy is evident. His approach, which encompasses skepticism towards corporations and mainstream science while promoting chronic disease prevention, has introduced new vernacular into the industry. Phrases like radical transparency are now common in government statements. For instance, Eli Lilly recently launched an advertisement urging consumers to be a healthy skeptic of compounded weight loss drugs. This messaging contrasts with the Biden administration's focus on accessibility, affordability, and social determinants of health. During a February event, Eli Lilly's chief executive officer, David Ricks, highlighted efforts to provide access to quality care, personalized information, and lifestyle choices alongside medication for conditions like obesity and diabetes. Moreover, health companies are moving away from terms like diversity and equity as the Trump administration mandates the end of federal diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Pfizer has adjusted its diversity, equity, and inclusion webpage to emphasize a merit-based approach, while Google Health has rebranded a job title from Global Head of Health Equity to Global Head of Health Optimization. This trend is not entirely new, as many companies have been promoting wellness and responding to public dissatisfaction with the health system since the pandemic. However, Kennedy's messaging resonates particularly well with women and mothers, which has helped President Trump gain support with these demographics. For healthcare interests, the challenge lies in reading the room and aligning with public sentiment. "This is what voters wanted. We need to have this conversation because this is what they wanted," Mooney-Mack said. While some organizations support Kennedy's broad goals to address chronic disease, the rapid adoption of Trump administration rhetoric may not convince all skeptics of their motives. In conclusion, healthcare organizations are navigating a complex landscape where aligning with the administration's priorities is crucial. Jeffrey Davis, director at healthcare consulting firm McDermott Plus, noted, "In any administration, you have to make the case that your priorities in some way, shape, or form align with theirs. The best way to make that case is to speak their same language." Pentagon Reviews plans to cut troops handling migrants at Guantanamo by as much as half. The Pentagon is currently reviewing plans to reduce the number of troops stationed at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba. This cut could be as much as 50% of the 900 troops currently deployed there to handle detained migrants. This decision comes as the base has seen no new migrant detainees since early March, and the program has faced several legal challenges. According to U.S. officials, the military's Southern Command has been tasked with providing Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth with a comprehensive plan to determine the actual number of troops needed at Guantanamo. This plan will also consider additional space requirements if more detainees are transferred in the future. The expectation is that a significant number of the troops currently stationed there will be sent home, with the possibility of redeployment if necessary. The base has historically been known for housing individuals connected to the September 11, 2001 attacks. However, it also includes a separate facility that has been used for decades to hold migrants intercepted at sea. Under President Donald Trump's administration, this facility's use was expanded to include some migrants detained in efforts to secure the southern border. President Trump has stated his intention to send what he terms high-threat criminal migrants to Guantanamo Bay. However, civil rights attorneys argue that many of those transferred do not have criminal records and claim that the administration is overstepping its authority under U.S. immigration law. A recent court ruling against these advocates hinged on the current absence of detainees at the base, but the judge indicated a willingness to revisit the issue if more detainees are sent there in the future. At the moment, the 900 troops stationed at Guantanamo have little to do. The contingent includes roughly 500 Army soldiers, almost 300 Marines, and several dozen sailors and airmen. As part of the Southern Command's new strategy, a significant number of these troops are likely to return home, while others are on prepare to deploy orders, ready to return if the situation changes. The implications of reducing the troop presence at Guantanamo are multifaceted. On one hand, it could alleviate the strain on military resources and personnel. On the other hand, it raises questions about the U.S.'s capacity to manage future high-threat detainees if the need arises. This decision reflects broader debates around immigration policy and national security priorities under the current administration. All right, that's a wrap for this episode. If you enjoyed this brief and would like to stay updated on latest episodes, do not forget to click follow in your podcast app. Thanks again for listening, and hope to catch you next time.